Anyway, look, we've been joined by a vision of loveliness. And don't get jealous, all right? I know you get jealous because, you know, when somebody more attractive than you comes in, you get all... Because you do
You're
that.
So mean to me.
You women do that, don't you?
You're so mean to
and,
me.
And so we've got Nikki Hill in. I want to call you something else because, you know, because of family background and so on and so forth. But I don't want, you know, that's not your name. So, Nikki, welcome.
Thank you, Ian.
How are you?
Pleased to be here. Good, thank you.
We haven't seen each other for years.
No, we haven't.
But
it's been a long time.
We would have known each other, well, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago in our table tennis days?
I think so, yes.
Did you play yourself?
No, I was just dragged along to games.
Okay, by your dad?
Yes.
And my stepdad used to drag me along as well, your brother, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
Steve, yeah.
He was an Ireland champion at one point,
He was, yeah.
A couple of times.
Yeah. And yeah, we had a table tennis shed in our back garden where they used to practice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So he was Ireland champion. What was he, Ireland champion back in the 70s, 80s?
I don't know what year it was, but there was all the newspaper things of him. And no, he did well.
Excellent.
He did good.
And Steve's no longer with us.
No, sadly, lost Steve.
Which I've only just found
ago.
Out.
Yeah.
And I'm really quite sad myself, so I'm really sorry about that. And this was it this that inspired you to start up your own business?
No, it was actually the loss of my parents. My parents passed away, my dad in 2000, mum in 2007. And it was when mum passed away and we actually got the bill for it. And I thought, crikey, you know, how much of it? Not that I begrudged mum the money, but it was a lot of money, and I thought there's got to be an easier way of doing this and a more affordable way. So that's what I set to do, and it took me 2 years to set up. So now I've got a business where I've got open and transparent pricing so people can see what they're paying for. There's no hidden extras, and it's more affordable for people.
So what's the name of the business is Bright Hill.
That was my mum's maiden name, and Hill my surname.
Ah,
and
right,
the sunflower is my mum's favourite. It's my mum's favourite flower. So.
Okay, so it's funerals that you're doing.
It's funerals.
Bright Hill funerals.
Yes.
I mean, it's a lovely thing to be able to do, but it's a lovely reason why you're doing it. And and we sometimes, I mean, we look and we joke and we laugh about things. I mean, we both turned 51 this year, and you know, you start, well, you're getting closer to it, and you think, well, what will happen? And it's you got open and transparency. You've just given me some details here, and I'm looking at it and thinking, I wouldn't even have had a clue. What and how much and so on and so forth. So that's one of the reasons why you're doing it. So it's more open, it's more honest, and it's more transparent.
Absolutely, and more personal as well. For instance, when a family phones me, I go to their home and they don't have to move from their home. Everything comes to them. They don't have to trawl round or be worried about anything. I'm literally the hand holder from start to finish. I'm their wingman, and I look after my families. Because it's a scary time, it's a worrying time. You know, a lot of families haven't got the money, so I help them with that. Like I say, basically, I'm there for them. And it's what they want, it's not what I want. So I want to be able to put together a funeral for them that's a real celebration of that of their loved one's life.
So what happens if they just don't have any money? Because I'll be honest, there must be more and more people out there that haven't paid him for anything.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're in that situation where they've got to do something.
Yeah.
So what happens then?
Yeah, this has got to be a very worrying situation at the moment. We've got probably more families than ever that just haven't got it. So the first port of call would be to see if they would be eligible for the funeral fund from the government. Unfortunately, with that takes weeks to see if you're even eligible. I have also got contacts. It's the Quakers Association. You don't have to be a Quaker, but the Quakers Association have got a whole host of people that they can go to for grants and help. So we have ways and means, and I've helped loads of families.
That must be, I mean, it must give you a good feeling as well. But it must be so, I mean, it's now, I don't know, it's just registering now that I've got no pension. I've got nothing paid in for a... I mean, my mum will always tell me, oh, I've got a plot, I've got it all sorted out, I know what's happening. And I'm thinking, well, I haven't. And you think, well, you never know when your life's going to end. You really don't.
You don't, no.
And, you know, so what advice would you give to those people that have nothing in place?
Well, this is a really important it's called the conversation to have, and you only really need to have it once. And it's because people are very focused on putting their will together of their house, their money, etc., etc. But nobody really puts together a thing to say what they would like for their funeral and how it would be funded. For instance, you know, if you've got a lot of siblings in the family, and let's say mum has passed away, and mum hasn't written down what she would like for her funeral, then you've got all the siblings saying, well, I think mum would like so-and-so, and I want mum... And you get all these arguments. Yeah. Whereas if mum had actually sat down and written that I would like whatever music, I would like flowers, I would like donations too, it's a very simple thing. Put it away with your will. There's no arguments then at all.
Well, that's good advice, but I mean, you must meet people all the time that have not done that.
Absolutely.
And you must be walking into...
I become a referee at times.
Yeah, I would imagine you do. There's nothing like a funeral that brings out the worst in people.
I do, but it's my job to make sure that we come to some compromise and happy, you know, they're kind of all happy with what's going to happen.
So when you get hit with this total shock, because it's most of the time, okay, it's a shock because we don't know when we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there must be some kind of protocol that you follow. I wouldn't even know where to start. You think all the deaths in our family, which we've had loads in the past. I mean, I've buried four dads. You know, I found out that that one wasn't, that one wasn't, that one wasn't, and so on and so forth. You think you get good at it, but that happened so long ago, you think, well, I wouldn't even know where to start now.
Mm.
Who do I phone?
Mm.
Who do I speak to? I'll phone you. I've got your number now. You'd be able to help me. Is
that
what you do?
You would phone me, and then I would talk you through it, and I would come and see you, and I'd sit down and say, right, this is what needs to be done now. And like I say, it's every step of the way. I'm with you on this. And all my families have my personal mobile number. So, because things like late at night, you suddenly think, I've got to, what about so-and-so?
Yeah.
Well, they can just phone me and say, Nikki, what about so-and-so? What do I have to do here? So it puts their mind at rest because, like I say, it's scary and you're very vulnerable at that time.
What do you... What, there must be a list of stuff that you've got to do, like a checklist. So what advice can you give? And I mean, just give us a rough idea of what you have to do.
Of what I have to do.
Yeah, you get the phone call.
Yeah, I get the phone call. Then I would go and see the family. Then I would come away from there and I would basically start to put the funeral together. They would give me some idea of what kind of date they would like. It depends on whether or not it's subject to a post-mortem as well. If the person's subject to a post-mortem, then it's going to be a longer process. But then again, I'm in contact with the coroner's office, so I can give those details to the family so that we know kind of how long it's going to be, because nobody really wants to wait a massively long time. You've got to have that closure, haven't you?
Sure.
Yeah, and that's it really. And then we come down to if they would like a celebrant, if they would like a vicar, or maybe they've got their own minister. I've got a lovely celebrant that I use called Caroline Ash. She's brilliant. She yet again will go round to the family, have a chat to the family, get to know all about the person that's passed away. So we take it step by step.
Okay.
Until we come to the funeral day, and I'm there half an hour before to meet the family.
And what does happen if you just don't have any money? I've never really thought about this until now. What happens if you don't have a plan, you don't have any money whatsoever?
Well, this is my job to kind of help you find money for the funeral.
Okay, and you'll go through
all sorts of
government
channels.
Funding and,
yeah,
and stuff
we'll
like that.
Yeah, we'll go through all sorts of channels to find the money.
But if that takes weeks, I mean, you're in a difficult position, aren't you, if it takes weeks? I'm guessing that you know who to contact.
I do,
and
yeah.
You know who to go to.
Yeah, I do.
So I feel safe now. I feel I felt when we brought this subject up, because we don't like talking about it. But when we, you know, you think, oh crikey, I wouldn't know what to do. But I know now that I'm going to add you to my phone list. If anything like this happens, I'm phoning you, because I wouldn't have a clue where to start. Because it's the last thing. My mum always says to me, "You're like Peter Pan. You'll never grow up." And I'm thinking, no, and I'm never going to die, but I am. Maybe I've got to put that in my phone and say, right, okay, I've got, you know, at some point, there's a number, give the wife the number, that's the number you need to phone now. So what is the number?
Oh, 717-554.
Go on, 7 what? Is it on here?
Yeah, 717-554.
That's the one. It's got mobile on there as well. You've got your email address as well. Have you got a website?
Yeah, I've got a website, which is www.brighthillfunerals.co.uk.
I think it's fantastic.
There's some lovely testimonials on there and things, and there's a bit about me and, like I've just said, about how I came about doing what I do. And I think people are a bit surprised because I don't look like your normal everyday funeral director.
Well, you don't.
No.
When John said, who we got coming in, and I thought, as a young lady, she's obviously lost, and that's what I thought.
I was sat at the back of one of. I always sit at the back of the while the funeral's going on, this gentleman turned around to me and he said, would you like an order of service? He thought I was one of the mourners.
Well, you wrote it.
I wrote it. Actually, I'm a funeral director.
Oh, wow. So what sort of training did you have to do?
It was life experience.
Yeah.
Pure life experience.
And let's be honest, you go through life and you lose parents, you lose brother, you're going to gain a whole lot of life experience, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been where they are.
Yeah.
You can never walk exactly in somebody's shoes, but I know how devastated I felt and how bereft and how scared and how vulnerable I was. So I can only think that everybody else would feel pretty much the same. And to have that security of knowing that somebody's there for you.
Do you know, for something that is obviously a very delicate situation, it's a very delicate time, you have a knack for putting people at ease, and that's in your time of need, that's what you want, isn't it? So for someone that's been doing it how long?
A year and 3 months.
No. I mean, that's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah.
That really
like
is.
I say, I'm a people person, and I genuinely want to help. And I genuinely know what they're going through.
Sure.
And I think if they know that I've been through it myself, that kind of helps. You know, I'm not coming from it from a just reading a text type thing. It's literally I've been there.
Sure.
So as long as I can help my families, I'm in touch with most of my families as well, by the way, that I've helped.
Excellent.
And I feel very honoured to have been part of their family for that short amount of time.
See, that all works. That all fits. It's not like, we'll take the money and then clear off. It's there's a lot of heart and soul in it as well, isn't
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. I truly care.
Well, look, congratulations with your business.
Thank you.
I think it's wonderful what you do. And lovely to come in and see us, obviously, because we're lovely people.
Thank you for inviting me. You are lovely people. Very lovely people.
And hopefully we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Okay, thanks
for
having me. That's Nikki. And just before you go, just give us that web address again.
Yeah, it's www.brighthillfunerals.co.uk.
Fabulous.